welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it.
Hey everybody, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here. On today's interview, I'm going to be talking to a gentleman named Matt McClellan. He runs a YouTube channel called Ozark Overland Adventures, and he has some awesome content on there about some epic trips that he's taken. He does a lot of Gaia GPS stuff. He actually teaches classes at expos and things like that, but he's taken some of that information and put it online in YouTube videos. So if you're interested in learning about Gaia GPS or navigating the Ozarks, he is definitely one of the guys to follow. So I will put links in the description down below to his channel and to all of his social channels where you can find him and engage with Matt. So definitely go check him out. Before we get going with the interview, I wanted to stop and thank you guys for stopping by. If you are on the YouTube channel and you're watching the video, awesome. Thank you for that. Definitely, if you like the video, click the like button down below. If you're not already subscribed, click the subscribe button. I do a podcast / vlog every week. So you'll get more great content like this every single week. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you guys as well. I know there are a ton of you out there that listen to the podcast, so I appreciate it. And again, if you aren't already subscribed to the channel, definitely check it out. If you aren't on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all those places, come join the conversation. I'd love to talk to you. That's the only sort of downside of the podcast is that I don't get to talk to you guys very much because it's on so many different channels. So definitely come join me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation over there as well. So that's it. We're going to get into the interview. And thanks again for stopping by, and let's get into it. As I just mentioned in the intro that you just heard, this is Matt McClellan with Ozark Overland Adventures. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I stumbled upon you when I saw Grant's, you know, Arkansas Off-Road's last video, that live one that he did, or the live premiere that he did. And I was like, oh, this guy's cool. And then I realized you had a channel too and watched your version of that trip. And it was awesome. It was a great video. So
yeah, that was a lot of fun having Grant shooting it while I was shooting it, because we just kind of told different stories. And it was neat seeing both aspects of it. So
yeah, that was really neat. Well, and it must be nice too, because so I've only been on a few trips where I've actually shot video and no one else there shot video. So it was like this awkward, awful, like constant, like, hey, can we stop at this water crossing and can I go stop some tripods? And they're like, oh, fine, go do it.
And it was my friends awkward. Are used to it. So
yeah, I'm going to go with you guys from now on.
Oh, absolutely. So, come on.
I'm planning to go to Rendezvous at the Ozarks. That is my plan. And I saw they just opened up ticket sales today, so I'm excited.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I always wait to the last minute to buy tickets.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You never know, you know, it's still a few months away. Like, it doesn't hurt as long as they don't run out, right? It sounds like they're expecting like 550 rigs, which is
I don't know that they could run out.
Yeah.
They better not run out, because I'm hoping Randy has me teaching a class again this year. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You're in for sure. I might run out. Cool. Well, so diving into some questions here, we'll start with kind of you and like how you got into overlanding and, you know, making videos and things like that. So, you know, what got you into overlanding? Like, what started overlanding for you?
I would say it just kind of happened organically. I have always loved the outdoors.
Sure.
As a kid, my grandparents had a place that had a little cabin on the Arkansas River. And I mean, when I'd go down there on the weekends during the summer, I'd be gone all day. I'd be out in the woods. I'd be along the riverbank. I mean, I'd just be outside all day. And, you know, then adulthood happened and had kids. And so when my middle daughter was born, which was now almost 16 years ago, I got my first, when I say real camera, I got my first digital SLR.
Nice.
And I'd always loved taking photos and always had cameras. So that was my first, you know, legit camera. And combined that with my love of hiking and waterfalls, and started going out to take waterfall photos. And the responsible four-door family car that I had couldn't take me to all the places that I wanted to go. And I'd always had a dream. I always loved Jeeps and always wanted one, but, you know, having kids back then, the only thing that was out was a TJ. You can't, you know, but I'll get them back of a TJ, at least not well. So it was, they were practical, but when the four-door Jeeps came out, then it became realistic and practical, and, you know, that could be like the ultimate family car. So when it was time to replace my little, my four-door, it was actually two 2001 Impala. It was game on. I knew exactly what I was getting. Went to went shopping, and my as soon as I got my first Jeep, I got it to go take to get to more waterfalls to photograph. But as I went out, I just fell in love with the aspect of exploring. And eventually that grew, and then combined, you know, camping with that. And up until really up until just, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, it was always just kind of just one night trips. And then I had an opportunity to take a trip out to New Mexico for the first time. And we weren't really overlanding, but we just, you know, set up a camp at a campground, but then went out exploring every day. And gosh, fell in love with that. The first trip out, that was my first trip out west. And then, you know, just kind of meeting people, and then this kind of overlanding thing became a thing. And just kind of happened.
That's awesome.
Now I get out as much as possible.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you actually went overlanding, because like I got into it by watching YouTube videos for like a year. Never been on a trip. And I was just like, this is what I'm going to change my whole life and buy another vehicle and do this thing that I've never done. So I'm glad that you actually did it. It's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I don't know, what was it? In my last, at the end of my last trip video, the Bonfire Run Part 2, I made a comment in there that I could very happily do this full time.
Yeah, I really did.
I mean, just living very minimal. You know, if it wasn't for those pesky kids that have to be responsible dad and put them through school and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
You can just raise them to be wild and just live in the woods, you know?
Like, well, my wife and I, you know, we have told my kids that my youngest is 13 and going into ninth grade. My youngest is 13 and going into eighth grade. And so we've got, five more years until she graduates high school. And so we've said, when you graduate high school, because she wants to move off to college anyway, when you graduate high school, we're packing up and moving to Colorado.
Nice.
That's the goal. The retirement plan is some form of, you know, RV, pulling the Jeep behind it, touring the States. And my middle daughter, who's very much a daddy's girl, said, how will I come visit you? Like, you won't. I'll park it on your front lawn, and you know, we'll be there for Christmas and birthdays and whatever. So
we'll just plan our trips around intersecting with your house.
That's exactly awesome. So
I love that. I don't know that my wife would ever go for that, but I've told her that, and it's made her very nervous, where I'm like, we should just sell the house. You know, just sell, like, imagine if we had that mortgage payment. Like, it would cost so much less to live just out in the woods. And as long as I have internet on my phone, I can work, you know?
I mean,
so.
If it wasn't for the kids, you know, I don't know if you've seen the video with our little teardrop camper. We've got a small teardrop. We just put a rooftop tent on it. Now we've got a two-story camper. And I think we could actually make a go of living out of it. I think we'd both be happy, because she loves being outdoors, and she's now she's starting to do a lot of photography, and she loves shooting videos, and you know, we're kind of a good team when we go out together. I think we could make a go of it.
I think that'd be sweet. So I'd be jealous of you. So when you're talking vehicles, you have a newer, you have a JK, right? You're not up
JK.
To JL yet?
Okay. No, I have a 2000. I have a 2012. JK Unloaded Rubicon.
So, do you prefer? Would you say that you are a newer vehicle person, or is that? I mean, obviously, you kind of had to wait for the four door. It sounds like, but are you itching to get into a JL, or do you prefer the JK?
I'm really not. actually, got a chance to, on the Bonfire Run. I got a chance to drive a friend's JL Rubicon, and man, they're nice. They're smooth, but they definitely feel bigger. You know, I love the classics. One of these days I want to own a CJ. I don't honestly don't even care, probably a CJ7. But and my wife's over here. she's yelling 83. She wants an 83.
nice.
I love those, and I want to own one day just as a fun vehicle. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, realistically driving it every day, doing what I love to do, you know, driving it up to the Ozarks, wheeling around there, driving out to Colorado. Yeah, you're not going to do that this season.
Yeah.
at least not well. So I really think the JK is my favorite platform.
Yeah.
It's still got a lot of the basics of the traditional Jeep in it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's plenty comfortable enough.
Yeah.
And super capable.
Yeah.
The JLs, gosh, as nice as they are, and as much as I love them, all the electronics in those scare me.
Yeah.
I think there's just some things that should be left analog.
Yeah.
You know, I want a key.
Right.
I don't want to push button start.
Right.
I don't want it to cut off on me when I'm sitting at a stoplight.
Right.
I don't want sensors on the side telling me if a vehicle's next to me.
Yeah.
You know, because all those things can fail.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing what we do, going out to remote places, I want to alleviate as much failure potential as possible. Yeah. And I mean, if you've seen in my videos, you know, I love water crossings.
Right.
And,
electronics don't like water.
Yeah. And some of the JL stuff, at least on the, I don't know if the 3.6 has it, but I know the 2.4, the new four cylinder, the turbo four. It's got a secondary battery that is actually down low by the rear drive shaft.
Huh.
I'm not sure how sealed it is, but I just can imagine that getting, you know, going through a deep water crossing and, you know, potentially water getting in there and not ending well. So I don't know. The JLs are still new. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, haven't seen a lot of those issues pop up yet, but time will tell. I've said that when it's time to replace my 2012, my next purchase will probably be, I don't remember when they started making them, 2016, 2017, Rubicon Recon Edition.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's still a JK, but it has the beefier front axle like a JL has. And so, I mean, if it's time to ever replace my JK, it's got 112,000 miles on it, so hopefully it'll last a lot longer.
Yeah.
That will probably be what I replace it with, is another JK, but a Rubicon Recon.
Nice. Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, I'm kind of in the middle.
I like that. I think I've interviewed a few people and they've kind of like, so I interviewed a guy from Hungary like a couple weeks ago and he has like an old FJ40 and he loves it and he thinks it's awesome, but he's like, I'm not.
My wife wants one of those. Yeah. My wife wants one of those.
Yeah. Oh, it's sick, but it's like, he's like, but I'm not going to take that across country. Like I'll take it to an off-road park. So he has like a newer Lexus GX, right? And that's, it makes sense. So, his is like a 2010-ish, right? Like, that's kind of how I am too, where it's like, okay, the 4-liter and the Xteras have proven themselves over the years. So I'll get one of those for cheap. And then if I crash it, you know, bash it into a tree, like your guys' trips, then you know, I'm not going to worry about it.
It happens.
So, yeah, I watched all of that and cringed a lot. So, I don't think I have to ask you this. I think I already know the answer, but are you a brand loyalist?
Absolutely.
I think we've already discovered the answer to that.
Yeah. You can see my garage behind me.
Just a couple Jeep things.
Just a couple Jeep signs. I freaking love Jeeps.
And honestly, for
my style of wheeling, It just fits me because I love, overlanding isn't always about super technical things,
right?
But I also love going to off-road parks and, you know, doing the real technical wheeling. And if I can go anywhere where I can combine the two, then that is my favorite thing to do. So you'll see a lot of my stuff in the Ozarks. I am looking for the most challenging trails that the Ozarks has to offer. A Jeep just fits that best because there's not, you're not going to go overlanding and then hitting all the hardcore trails in Moab as well in a 4Runner.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the solid front axle, major articulation in the, you know, in the suspension, yeah. Front rear lockers. And man, my favorite thing about my Jeep is that transfer case.
Yeah.
That 4-to-1 ratio is absolutely killer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, obviously I'm a Nissan guy and I will say I love my Xterra, but it's open diffs all around, you know, like it's very capable for what it is. And I had a 2000 Cherokee, an XJ, and I loved that thing, but it had the Dana 30 in the front, the 8.25 in the rear, and it was open diffs too, but it was extremely capable. And I loved that truck, but I feel like the Xterra is maybe just barely slightly more capable than that, only because it's newer and I've got bigger tires on it, I think, than I did on the XJ. But like, and I want to do the same things you do, which is why I'm so excited to get down there with you guys, because like everything up here is just gravel. Right. And like, but I love the idea of combining the technical stuff with the trip, because that's, if there's no challenge, then we can all just drive on gravel and go camp. But like, I want to tackle stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I do too. You know, the flip side of that is we go out to Colorado every year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just being real, unless you seek out the future of all the major trails in Colorado, they're pretty just easy. County roads.
Yeah.
But they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, they're simply gorgeous. So, you know, give me a week of that, of just, you know, driving the mountain passes and stuff and camping at different places each night, like we're going to do this summer. Man, I'm good with that too. Yeah. I love to work in the scenery.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So that kind of brings us to the next question, which is, do you have a favorite season? Like, are you a winter guy, a summer guy, spring, fall? Do you have a favorite season for overlanding, or is there one you hate?
No, not really. I like all the seasons, and for different reasons. I don't mind winter camping at all.
Yep.
I don't mind, you know, we've got, you know, gear and equipment stuff to handle that and to stay warm. One of my first trips with my wife through the Ozarks, she was then my girlfriend. She had her Jeep, her first Jeep. And we were on a trip to the Ozarks in the winter. I want to say it was January, maybe February. And we were both sleeping in hammocks and woke up. Yeah. We were one night, it got down to 17 degrees. We both woke up with ice on the rain flies. And you know, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Obviously spring and fall, just because of the weather, and spring, everything's coming back alive again for down here in Arkansas, the Ozarks, the waterfalls are all, you know, going crazy. Fall colors, you know, summer, I don't do as much in the summer, just because of, and it's not so much the heat, but ticks and the streams are usually dry here in Arkansas. Arkansas, summertime is when, you know, we go to Colorado.
Yeah.
And we'll out there. Right.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way, where it's like summer for me, the bugs and the people, like it's just packed, right? I feel like everything is, if there's a busy season, it's summer. It's like, I love going in the winter because no one's around.
Just one of these days, before we actually, you know, potentially move out there, I want to get out to Colorado in the wintertime and just experience it.
I bet that's cool.
And just give it a shot. I mean, I know there basically be no trails open, but, you know, just pulling into the little mountain towns or whatever. Even if we just drive pavement the whole time, I don't care. I just want to go experience it.
Yeah.
I love snow. And growing up in Arkansas, we just don't get a lot. I mean, major snow for us when I was a kid was like 3 inches. And schools would shut down for a week. And me and my friends would grab our sleds and, you know, go sledding as best we could. And I love snow and have never experienced a really big snow.
Yeah. So. I feel like, is it the Fastlane truck that gets a lot of cool stuff to test up in like the mountains and stuff over there? Like if they're in the snow, like feet of snow. And I'm like, I want that so bad.
Yeah.
We never get it anymore. Sad. So cool. So was the JK your first 4x4 vehicle, or did you have something prior to that that kind of got you into wheeling and all that?
My first Jeep was a 2008.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
So I've owned two Jeeps
myself.
My 2008 was my first one. It was a 2008 JKU Sahara, and drove it bone stock for a year.
Nice.
And then that engine was just total crap. That I started having issues, and this 2012 was actually sitting on the used lot while my 2008 was in the shop. And just started walking around and started asking the salesperson about it. And it was a 2012 with only 15,000 miles on it. And
nice.
We got to talking and ended up leaving my Sahara at the dealership and nice. Driving away with a new Rubicon. So
that's pretty
or
sweet.
Newer.
So, yeah.
Yeah. My dad had four-wheel drive stuff when I was a kid. I remember when I was 14, my dad got I don't remember if it was an older CJ or if it was a TJ, maybe it was a YJ at that time. I know he brought home this lifted two-door Jeep, you know, very, I don't remember what model it was. Someone had modified it. I think they put a V8 in it and, you know, custom seats and all. And anyway, I was 14 and he said, when you turn 16, this will be yours. And I was, and then when I was like 15, he sold it and I was pissed.
That's how it always works, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but yeah, grew up on four wheelers, or back then three wheelers, and I didn't die.
Good. Yeah.
Always had
fortunate sort of, you
know, off road ish vehicle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Growing up and stuff. So
that's sweet. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm a weirdo because like my parents leased cars their whole lives. And then I got one friend in high school that was like, his dad was into cars and like he had like a 63 Vet, and like just then I started to get hooked, and then that's how I finally got into them. But like my parents still are like, what the hell happened? Like we didn't ever have any cars and now I won't leave a car alone. So I'm glad you got that. I'm trying to raise my kids in it to give them what I didn't have. So cool. So tell us about your mods. Like what have you done to the Jeep?
Oh my gosh. so much. I mean, there's really nothing I mean, let's just be real. JKs are a dime a dozen. I mean, they're all over the place. And, you know, seeing a JK with a 2.5-inch lift in 35s is just completely normal. It's a very standard JK build. I'm not sure what's really different about it. I did invest the effort and a lot of it learning the hard way, you know, and trying to do it right. So yeah. I don't just have a 2.5-inch lift. I have all adjustable upper and lower control arms on the front. I've got aftermarket, you know, better adjustable track bar. So I can dial it in and it drives really well. It drives really smooth. It doesn't dart all over the place and it's not squirrely like your typical JK with, you know, 2.5 or 3 inches of lift, because all they did was slap in new springs and shocks and didn't do anything just to deal with the geometry. So I've done that right. I mean, it's just a fairly
standard JK build.
Standard JK build.
I envy you guys and the prices on Jeep mods though.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can lift a Jeep for, you can do a lot of mods for a Jeep with the same money you can, you know, lift a Toyota or I'm sure a Nissan. Okay.
So. Yeah, mine is a Frankenstein for sure. But it even so, like coils for the front are like $1,000. And I'm like, wait a second. I got like new on my Cherokee, I got like new coils, new dampers up front, Adelie for the rear. God, what else I got? And it was like $250 for everything. For like a 3-inch lift on an XJ. And I was like, how is it four times as much for front coilovers for an Xterra? So yeah, I do miss those. And that's, I hate to say it because I'm a Nissan guy, but like if I ever got a Jeep again, I'd probably be able to do a lot more to it and do it right, because I did not do the stuff right on the Xterra. It's pieced together slowly.
I mean, so much of mine was just, learning as I go.
Yeah.
I bought cheaper stuff starting out because I had to. And as, I wore that stuff out, we get better stuff.
Yep.
I learned shocks matter. Don't cheap out on the shocks.
Right.
You know, so many lift kits just come with a cheap twin tube, basic twin tube shocks, and those suck.
Yeah.
Invest in better shocks and, really helps the ride quality.
Yeah. Well, I did a spacer lift at first. and it was straight garbage. Just, it was so bad.
Whatever you can to get bigger tires.
Yeah. I mean, it got 33s on there for me, but now that I have the coils, it's like riding on a big comfy couch kind of. It's just super nice. So yeah, you're right though. Spend the money when you need to. What would you say? So you've been on a lot of cool stuff and I've seen a lot of it on your videos, but like, what is your all time like coolest obstacle that you've overcome or like trail that you did? What was like the coolest, toughest thing that you tackled in your Jeep?
Man, the coolest obstacle I've ever done was definitely Hell's Gate out on the Hell's Revenge Trail in Moab. Yeah. We were out there. It was my wife's then girlfriend. Very first trip out there. this year will be our fourth year in a row to go.
Nice.
It was 3 years ago. We'd never been out there before, and we just took off. We took we took the whole week off and a couple other days, and just went out and spent, I want to say, 5 days in Ouray and then I think 2 days in Moab.
Wow.
And had always wanted to go to Moab. We got there. Running Hell's Revenge. It was late July, so hot.
Yeah,
nobody else was out there during the week. We saw one other guy out there.
Wow.
So we were all alone, and we get to Hell's Gate, and we're kind of like, "Oh, we think we're gonna do it." And we saw that we saw another guy out there. There's a lookout out there at Hell's Gate, overlooking the river, and we were talking to him. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. and so I'm usually not one to shy away from an obstacle. I feel pretty confident in my ability. And, plus in Moab, it's kind of cheating. You just follow the black line on all the slick rock. So we decided we're going to do it. And like I said, we have no spotter. I mean, we are alone out there. And my wife had just gotten the drone, and so she's flying the drone in the passenger seat, watching it on the screen. She's not even paying attention to what we're doing. And so we're going up the super steep obstacle. And I'm a little, I'm a little nervous, but, we're going. And I hit an upper section. I didn't get high enough on the wall, and I slipped and hit hard. And I think that I have landed on my doors, I've dented the body, that I've done some significant damage there. And we're at a pretty steep incline on Hell's Gate, and I start to freak out. I don't think I had my lockers on at that point. So I remember I hit the locker button and I just punch it.
Yeah.
And climb up out of there. And I mean, I've got half the seat in my butt crack because of, just freaked out so much. Meanwhile, Kara's sitting next to me, because she's just been watching it on drone screen, laughing hysterically at everything. And there's actually a video of that on my YouTube channel. And
I'm going to go find that.
It's really short. it's just Hell's Gate. And you can hear her. And she's just laughing hysterically and at me.
That's funny.
And that is definitely the most memorable obstacle. We went back. We spent a lot more time in Moab last year. But last year, we took both Jeeps. My wife has a Jeep too. She has a 2015 JKU.
Cool.
And so she wanted to drive her Jeep out there. So we took both as being responsible people.
Sure.
And she's like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. I don't know. I'm like, you laughed the whole time. The very first time I went up there, you laughed the entire time. She said, yeah, but I was looking at the screen and I wouldn't drive it.
Right.
But we got there, we're at the overlook, and all of a sudden I turn around and Kara's gone. So I get on the radio, like, where are you? She said, I'm doing Hell's Gate right now. If I don't do them first, then I'm probably not going to do it. I'm like, well, can you wait for me to go over here and spot you first?
Right.
And so I finally get around there, and she's already in the bottom of it.
Oh, jeez.
and so, yeah, she drove
no problem.
Hell's Gate for the first time last year. No problem. She said she doesn't remember it because I was on the – all she remembers is staring at me and listening to me on the radio.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's the only thing she remembers.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
But and that's actually a video that I've never put together. And now that we're in quarantine mode, I need to go back and redo that trip.
Yeah. So, Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I feel like there are so few people that have ever even experienced just that kind of like change in direction of your vehicle. You know, like when I first got my XJ, it was stock for like 8-10 months probably. And I had a buddy with a TJ. And so we would go to like off-road parks together, and we hit this one part where there was just a hill that was like, I don't know, like 150 feet long. And it was like, I mean, it wasn't, it felt like this, but it was more like that, you know? But you just look at that and you're like, I said, no, there's no, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. Because you can do that in two-wheel drive. Just follow me. And I'm like, well, and as soon as you're like laying on the seat, you know, and you're, the seat back is what your weight is on. Like, it's just a weird feeling, but man, it's so much fun. And so few people get to experience and it.
What makes me, what frustrates me is that the videos never do that justice.
Right. Yeah.
Ever. I mean, it feels so steep, and getting out and standing there, it looked so steep. And when you're driving it, you just feel like you're going straight up. But when you see it on video, you're like, you know, it's just barely a hill. I'm like, no, that's not how it is.
Right. Yeah. It kills me. I feel like I watch a lot of videos like that, and they're always like, you see that, you know, the Jeep, for example, they're always Jeeps, right? And they're wow, wow, wow. And they're bouncing up and jumping and, and climbing stuff. And you're just like, it doesn't look that extreme, but you can tell from the way that the body's moving and the way that the suspension's traveling and the way that he's jumping and bouncing that it's definitely a hill, but you just can't capture it. I don't know why. Yeah. It sucks. So any places you want to go that you haven't been able to go?
Oh, so many.
So what's many. The biggest
and they're
one?
All the Rubicon Trail.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, definitely. Sense, I mean, as a Jeep owner, I got to go to the Rubicon Trail one day. That's definitely on the bucket list. That, I mean, so many other places out west. There's so many other places in a lot of places in Colorado that we still haven't experienced. We've experienced a lot of southern Colorado, but have never been north of, was it I-70 out of Denver? I think we've never been north of there. And so definitely want to get up there one day just to explore. I mean, all over the Rockies, Montana, Idaho, the Southwest, Arizona. Gosh, what's the trail? What's the trail in California? Mojave Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mojave Road. Want to do that one day. Johnson Valley.
So. It sucks being sort of out east, doesn't it? Because there's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah. I want to go out east too, since I'm in Central.
Yeah.
You know, I want to experience the Smokies. I've been to Gatlinburg once a long time ago, but that didn't count.
Right.
You know, I want to go Will and Smokies. We actually talked about taking the kids to the Smokies this summer as just a trip, because we instead of going to the beach. But just not ever having gone out there before, I want to take the kids for the first time and it be purely exploring, because as I don't know what the campsite situation is out there and that sort of thing. So I think we're probably going to go back to New Mexico with the kids, because I know where to camp there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have like a favorite piece of overlanding gear, like something that you take on every trip that you would never leave home without, regardless of weather?
Yes, and it's something that 2 years ago I would have said, I don't need that. That's stupid. And that's my fridge. 2 years ago, my wife got me a Dometic CFX 50.
Nice.
I just started looking at the cheap fridges on Amazon that run
like Alpha Cools,
$300. Yeah, the Alpha Cool. Yep. Exactly. I think it was an Alpha Cool.
Yep.
And was actually about to pull the trigger on one, or kind of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, it's Christmas and she pulls out this big box. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I unwrap it and she got me a CFX 50 Dometic.
That's awesome.
And I thought she was nuts. We were actually dating them. Not married yet. But now I love that thing. Not having to deal with ice really is a thing. And just being able the fact that I can, the way that it handles the energy, the battery management.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, last year in Colorado, I left my Jeep parked for 2 days and it had the Dometic in the back of it.
Huh.
Didn't have an issue.
You have a deep cycle?
No, I just had
just
a standard,
stock battery. Wow. That's nice.
Standard stock battery. I've got an AGM battery now, but that one was just a stock battery.
Huh.
But that's crazy. The Dometic now I won't leave home without, even if it's a day trip. I throw it in there because it's just so handy.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a funny little story and you're going to laugh at me, but I've bought two AlphaCools and I returned both.
Oh, really?
Of them. Yeah. So every time I go on sale,
good friend of mine has one and he loves it.
Yeah.
And, he'll tell you it's not a Dometic. Yeah. It didn't have the build quality of a Dometic. But just to get, just if you're on a budget.
Yeah.
He says it's a great fridge.
It's like 63 or 65 quart one, and it was like 200 or 250 bucks. And I was like, I just had to buy it. So I bought it and I got it and I unwrapped it and I put it in the back of my truck and I hooked it up to my little tiny AGM battery. It's like a 35 amp hour battery. It's like tiny. And 20 minutes later it shut off. And I was like, damn it. And I was like, I'm not gonna be able to run this thing. I don't want to kill my starter battery. So I returned it. And then a month or two later, I think it was Revere Overland. If you're familiar with that guy's channel, he's out of Kentucky. Yeah. He posted something up and was like, hey, this 50 some quart one is $180. And I was like, buy. And I bought it and I got that one. And then I was like, that one had wheels on it, which I really didn't like because I wanted it to be permanent in the truck. And then I was just like, same problem, right? It shut off. And I was like, okay, this was stupid. This is an impulse buy. I need to send it back. I've said Amazon hates me. I just return I buy the biggest stuff and I just return it. So, yeah, I don't know. I want to.
So do you have one now?
No, I'm still a cooler guy now.
Oh, you don't have? Okay.
No, I hate it. I hate it. I'm just too poor because I want a good one, right? I think you're right. I think that's one of those buy once, cry once kind of purchases, and I need a good one. So I need to do some research and wait for a sale or something so that I can justify it and then just buy one and use it forever.
Yeah, so. There's several good brands on the market. So, yeah. I'm definitely a Dometic fan. But the new ones that they just came out with, we actually saw them at Rendezvous in the Ozarks back in October.
Nice.
We got a chance to meet the rep that was out there and got the wheel with him. So that was awesome.
Cool.
But it's the third generation. It's now the CFX 55. It's now 55 liter. But it actually has a freezing plate on it. Just one little plate on the side that has a little ice tray. And in a couple hours, you can make ice in it. It doesn't have a separate freezer like some of the bigger ones do.
Just an ice maker.
But it has a little freezing tray that will make ice. So that's the one thing I miss about having the fridge.
Yeah.
Is I love ice in my drinks. It's just water. I like ice water. If I'm drinking a Coke, it's, I like ice in my cup. So I have been known to, we have one of those soft sided Yetis.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have been known to just pack just that bring ice. With ice, just to bring ice.
So you got the fridge to get rid of ice and then you have to bring a separate thing with ice in it.
Just to have ice. Or typically when I'm willing with my friends that still have ice chips, I'll just bump them ice off them.
Yeah. Just borrow. Yeah. See, there you go. When we get together, I will have this stupid cooler and I'll give you ice. That's awesome. All right, so cool. So let's dive into Ozark Overland Adventures a little bit.
Yeah.
So what got so you mentioned that you just kind of fell into organically overlanding. What kind of got you started doing a YouTube channel? What made you think to do that?
Really just a way to share stuff with friends.
Yeah.
I didn't set out to create a YouTube channel. It was just a way for me to just a place for me to upload videos and then be able to share them. I started doing that. Oh gosh, I don't know, 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
But then I don't even remember why. In 2015, I started actually thinking about YouTube and wanting to create wheeling videos. And, I have somewhat of a graphic design background and a video production background. I used to do it in churches. So I wanted to keep doing those type of creative elements outside of the job. And so came up with Ozark Overlanding and Ozark Overland Adventures as a channel name, and named it that. And then I was still just using it for that, but I just gave it a name until about a year ago. And me and my friends would go out and, you know, especially one of them, Nathan, would help me shoot videos and stuff and get some cool angles. And, you know, we'd just be sitting around the campfire talking like, you know, what if this, what if we did this? What if we tried this? And you know, really in the last year is when I started, you know, let's go out and let's make cool videos of this, especially, you know, the Ozarks and, because there's not a lot of that, and see what happens. And so, I mean, the channel's still really young. I mean, I just hit 1,000 subscribers last month.
Nice, congrats!
So, you know, I can now monetize it. Yay!
Yeah, there you go.
I've made $11.
Nice, you're rich. Everyone thinks you're rich now.
You know, I want to say joked around, but it's really not a joke. You know, I would love to see the channel grow. And, you know, like I said, in the, you know, at the end of that Bonfire Run video, and just be able to do this full time. I mean, that would be my dream. I could be very happy with that. I just, the video creation process and all that is not a struggle for me. I enjoy doing that. So it's not really a lot of effort. I do tend to get caught up when I'm out doing things and forget to set up my camera or forget to, you know, forget to film that or whatever. And for me, I'm always the leader of the groups. So there's never any video of me doing anything.
It's everyone else.
It's always me going through the obstacle or the water crossing first. And then I get my camera grid out and film everybody else coming across. So, you know, in my videos, there's not a lot of my Jeep in them.
I've kind of noticed that. But I also noticed that you're like the Ozark guy. Like, you're like the Ozark expert that just, like, to your point, leads all the expeditions and, like, talks about the Ozarks and knows all about the Ozarks. And I watched a couple of, the map ones and stuff where you're going through Gaia and everything. And it's like, okay, I definitely need to meet Matt because the Ozarks seem like my kind of place. Like, and I'm going to never be able to find any of these cool places on my own.
The Ozarks are a special place. They really are. I love them. I mean, of course, I mean, it's my backyard basically. And so that's where I spend the most of my time. But they're a special place. They're not the Rockies. They're definitely not out west. But they are mountainous and they're very rugged. And they're very difficult to navigate if you don't know what you're doing. Because there's so many old Forest Service roads that are still on the maps. That are even on the, not the official maps, but just the topo maps. And it's real easy to take off down one and, you know, you may get 2 miles down the trail and it's overgrown. It just, and it just disappears into nothing. So, and out here, I mean, none of the trails are marked, you know, there's very few signs saying this is trail 9234A or whatever. So you gotta, I mean, you have to be able to read maps to navigate the Ozarks. Or you'll get lost.
That would be me. There'd be like one live stream for like 10 minutes. Like, hey guys, we made it. And then I'd never be seen again. I'd just be dead. So we went to West Virginia last summer-ish, like I think it was August or September, and it was gorgeous, but it was exactly the same thing, right? Now, it's not quite as rugged or as like out there, but I mean, there were some spots where we were like, I'm a little worried. If we get lost out here, we might run into some people that don't want us around out here for sure. You definitely have to be careful. I feel like Kentucky is like that a lot too, is what I've heard, but I think that's my next trip. I'll be going to Kentucky here soon. So
That'd be amazing.
Kentucky, there's a lot of cool stuff down there. I really want to hit the Red River Gorge area and then like the Daniel Boone backcountry byway. But that, like in my head, that's what, when I see your guys' videos of the Ozarks, that's what I think Kentucky is. Like that's, I'm like, okay.
I'm sure there's trails. I mean, there's some good national forests in Kentucky. I lived in Kentucky for 3 years. That's where I went to grad school up in Louisville. And so saw bits and pieces of them. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Kentucky, especially Eastern, yeah, Eastern Kentucky, Tennessee, the Virginias, gosh, I would love to get out there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, cool. Well, so do you have a specific type of video that you prefer? So you talk about trip videos. Are those your favorite to make? Do you like making instructional videos? Do you like doing gear reviews? Like what do you enjoy making the most?
I haven't done enough gear reviews to be able to speak to that one. I just did my first one last week.
The Yeti?
Gear review. The Yeti 150.
That was
150.
A great one. I like that video.
Yeah, I want to do more of those. But the trip videos are my favorite.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because obviously to shoot them, I'm on a trip and having fun. You know, the other ones I do just, you know, the instructional videos for Gaia and the MBU maps, that sort of thing. Honestly, that kind of came out of frustration and kind of necessity. Because a lot of people don't know, you know, how to use the motor vehicle use maps in the Forest Service. And I got sick and tired of seeing trails shut down because of ignorance. And so I was like, well, I know how to do this. And, you know, I've taught classes on how to do it. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to make a video and, you know, start sharing it everywhere so people can, you know, learn how to do this.
Great.
So, Gaia's got so much. I just kind of redid my last Gaia video was actually kind of a redo from one of my very first ones because so much had changed in it and needed an update. But I've got that was like a 101. And so I want to do a 201 and maybe even a 301 just to dig deeper into what all Gaia can do.
So. I need those because I just recently got Gaia. So I'm not much of a navigator, which is, I know, funny because I've gone on a decent amount of trips, but like, typically I find someone, right? I find someone that knows their way around and I'm like, hey buddy, you want to lead? All right, I'll follow and do whatever you want. I'll cook dinner every night. Like, let's go. So, but I need to know, that is an important skill to know. So that's why I'm excited to get to some expos this year and learn stuff from, you know, folks like you, because it is good to know. Good to know. Do you feel like though, when you go on those trips, right? So like personally, I don't shoot a lot of video on trips because I'm usually with people that hate it. And two, like you, I get caught up and then I'm just like, oh shoot, I should have recorded that. Oh well, it's too late now. Like, do you find that it kind of, do you get to relax on the trips? Do you get to enjoy the trips, or does the video making, the filmmaking, like sort of make it more of a hassle than it should be on your trips?
No, I get a lot of just personal fulfillment out of creating the videos. So it's not really extra work. Sure. For me, while I'm out shooting it, the struggle comes when I get home and then I have to edit it. Editing is the hard part. But I've found that, you know, in doing that, you kind of get to relive it again. And so I enjoy that aspect of it. My thing is I want to be able to sit down and start and get to the end. But editing a video, especially when you're talking a trip video that's maybe, you know, 25 minutes long, that takes so many hours. Hours and hours. And you can't do that in one sitting. And so that's where my frustration is, because I want to start something and finish something. Yeah. But when I'm doing those trip videos, I've got to start it, work on it for, you know, maybe a couple hours, and then put it away, come back the next day, work on a couple hours, and break it up into pieces. And that's the struggle for me. But no, when we're out, I mean, I love photography and love videography. So that's part of the joy for me.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you've got people that are understanding that go with you, because that would definitely help, I feel like.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, so now that you are, you know, have the YouTube channel and it's growing and you're kind of, you know, trying to make it more of an official thing, right? Mm-hmm. Do you find that, like, and this is a biased question because I'm asking for myself, do you find that influences where and when you take trips? Or like, do you find yourself saying like, man, it's been too long since I put out a video, I need to go do something? And that could be good or bad, right? Like, it could be a good excuse to get out and take another trip. Or is it more like, for me, where this question's really coming from is like, I'll have times where I'm like, man, it's been like 3 weeks since I did a gear review and I don't want to do it in my neighborhood. So I need to get to some woods so I can, you know, do 8 gear reviews. And then yeah. It's like, that's what the whole trip is about. I'm just like sitting in a campsite, like, here's my axe and it's awesome. And it does this and that.
I'll take any excuse just to get out.
True. Yeah.
You know, and if shooting a video is an excuse to get out, then so be it. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling that right now because I got back from the bonfire run and knew there was just so much in that trip. I knew that was going to be a two-parter. And then I thought, okay, I never did make a video of our Colorado Moab trip, and I've got tons of video footage from that trip that I need to go back and redo. So that's going to be my next big video while we're,
stuck,
kind of waiting for the next trip. But to fill the time, now that I'm kind of focused on my channel, I definitely think, okay, I need to create another video this week. And that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to do the Yeti 150 review. I actually made a list on my phone of, I don't know, probably 24 things that I want to create videos for that aren't wheeling videos. Rig walk arounds. I've never done that before. Want to get a little more detail into my two-story camper setup. The Dometic, the Campfire Defender, the pop-up fire pit that I use. Yeah. Man, that thing's awesome.
That is cool. I saw it.
I'll never use a firing again. I love that thing. Huh. So just stuff like that. I want to do reviews on.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating to me, like what people are looking for on YouTube, and that's what I love about YouTube is like instead of like a network television show or something, right? Like you can literally find anything you want, and it could be like a kid in his mom's basement talking about Minecraft, and like there are people looking for that, and they love it. And it's the same with this stuff too, where it's like, I started making gear reviews exactly like you said, because I was like out of stuff. I couldn't go on trips enough. And I was like, oh, I'll do some gear reviews. And people were like, man, that really helped me. That was cool. And I was like, what? This is good for people. Yeah. People actually like this. I was just doing it to fill, but now I like doing them. I think they're fun. So yeah, that's cool.
Getting that affirmation from complete strangers, it just makes you feel good and like you do something, especially when it's stuff like my Gaia videos and teaching people how to do what we love to do and do it responsibly and do it legally, staying on legal trails, that sort of thing. And not just blazing off through the forest. That makes me feel good. We laugh. We were on our, we were actually just going camping. With the kids, just a couple weeks ago, and I didn't turn that into a video because we were just relaxing. That was one of those it wasn't a wheeling trip. It was just relaxing and camping. And we stumbled up into a campsite, and we were actually heading to find a campsite on Saturday morning, and drove past a guy on one of the dirt roads, and he slammed on his brakes. He was in his little TJ. He slammed on his brakes, and I thought, oh, maybe he's lost in these directions. And he backed up and just waving. He's like, are you Matt? Are you Matt? I was like, yeah.
Awesome.
He's like, man, I watched all your videos, and, thank you so much for doing the Gaia stuff or the Gaia stuff. Kara's next to me laughing. My kids are in the back seat going, oh, my gosh. and it was hysterical. And we've got a big kick out, but it makes you feel good. To know that you actually made something and someone cared about it and it helped them enjoy their trip more. So,
yeah. Have you had I was terrified when I first started mine. I was terrified to be on camera. So like, please don't go back and look at these, but like, I have like 14 videos since like 2016 and they're all like terrible overblown music and they're like 2 minutes long. And it's like my Jeep at an off-road park, or my Jeep, my Xterra trying to climb a rock wall 3 times and then finally making it, right? Like, that's it. That's all that it was. And I had no views and no subscribers. And then I was like, okay, people don't want to just watch the inside of my truck from my phone as I'm driving the truck go up a wall. I'm going to try and like get in front of the camera and talk to people. And I was terrified that I was just going to get destroyed, right? Like, because I'm just a normal guy. Like, I've already told you, I don't hardly know how to navigate. Like, I mean, I'm not stupid. I can find my way, but... I'm not great with the MBUMs. I know a little bit about Gaia, but not a ton. Like, I thought I was just going to get destroyed, but my experience has been extremely positive. How has yours been? Like, have you had mostly positive? Have you ever gotten lit up by anybody?
You know, my early videos were just, you know, me sticking the GoPro on the windshield.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 15 minutes of just driving down the trail. Oddly enough, my most viewed video is Goose Lake in Red River, New Mexico, the Goose Lake Trail. It's got like, I don't know, 45,000 views now. Of course, it's been there for, I don't know, 7 years.
Yeah.
And I'm really sad because I can't monetize it because it's got, you know, commercial music and I didn't know that did. But yeah, but it just gives people a taste of the trail. There's no dialogue. It's only been recently, you know, within the last year or two that I've started actually including me, you know, in the stuff and giving dialogue and kind of talking about what we're doing and that sort of stuff. And I guess the only reason I hadn't done it before, because I didn't know to do it, honestly. I didn't know that would be, you know, people would care. But, yeah, I was a pastor for 10 years. So, so standing up in front of people and talking or, you know, leading worship type of thing, very comfortable doing that. So, I have no problem taking phone and pointing it at me.
Naturally.
Just start rambling. So,
Well, that's great. So, what are your goals for the channel then? I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit. I mean, is the real goal to like get to self-sufficiency, or do you have a number in mind, or?
Not really. I don't know how far it can go. I don't see, I mean, I watch other channels, you know, like Jason Kirchy, Lifestyle Overland, Lightbright, all detail stuff,
Deeps, right?
And see how they, you know, especially like Lifestyle Overland. I guess I started watching those back when they did their very first Enchanted Rocky series, and just seeing how their channel has just grown over the years. And now I think they're at least somewhat to the point where it provides their income. You know, I just don't know how long it's going to take. So right now I'm just doing it for fun, and I definitely want to grow the channel. I would love for it to be a legit source of income, to just fun to do what I love to do. I'm never going to be one of those guys that, like, you know, and Lifestyle Overland has one, and so does Jason Kirchy, you know, but like, hey, thanks for watching my video, go check out my Patreon account and find out ways you can send me $5 a month or $20 a month and get access to my routes and my campsites. And that's what I'm not going to do. You know, I'm not going to do that. Man, I don't know. I say I won't watch in, you know, 5 years, I'll be launching. But
you'll work for Patreon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be to the point where I'm selling my routes or feel like I am, that sort of thing. Yeah, we'll see. I'm just gonna I'm gonna keep creating content because I love to do it, and it's kind of see how it grows.
Yeah, I think that's great, and that's, you know, like when I started mine, I don't know that I had a goal. Like I was just like, well, I'm gonna see if I can get people to follow me, because I've done marketing before, so it was like an exercise. It was like a fun exercise, right? Like I enjoyed editing the videos. I was terrible at it, and I'm still not great, but I like it and stuff. And then, but then the more that I went with it, the more I started to see, like, yes, there are, you know, the Lifestyle Overlands or the Expedition Overlands or Overland Bounds and all that stuff. But I feel like they're kind of
Expedition Overland. That's a whole different ballgame.
True. Yeah. But like, I just feel like they're kind of like on the downswing, right? Like, I don't see, like, I always glance at people's, like, how many subscribers do they have? And like, I feel like they've kind of plateaued, because realistically, like I mentioned earlier with the YouTube stuff, like you can find anybody doing anything. And there are a ton of people like you and I that like have jobs and we work and then like we go out when we can. Right. And I've had so many, that's been like the most fun and the biggest thing that I've learned with my channel so far is like people have approached me and said, hey, thank you for being honest about this thing that you reviewed, or thank you for telling me about this trail that no one else will tell me about because they're too cool and it's their spot, or, you know, whatever. So that's where I'm trying to be very intentional with exactly what you just said, right? Like, let's just keep having fun, and I want to keep being honest with people. And see what happens. And I feel like that may get us to the point of like 50,000 or 100,000 someday, you know, in years probably, but someday, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, I talked wheeling with going on the trip with Grant last time. I got a chance to talk to him because his YouTube channel grew pretty quickly.
It's huge. Yeah.
He's got unique content because of the TJ.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've got a JK, they're a dime a dozen. There's crap to my YouTube channels about JK. So.
Right.
I may be doomed from the start. I don't know. But, you know, I got a chance to talk to him because, and I just point blank asked him, I said, at that point he had, I don't know, like 18,000 subscribers.
Jeez.
He's already, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, he's like almost at 25,000 now.
Yeah. Crazy.
I was like, okay, you've got 18,000 subscribers now.
Yeah.
How much do you make on YouTube? And so he told me, and I was like, okay, that's like legit money. You know, I mean, you could, you know, buy a new car with that.
Nice.
That gave me a realistic expectation of kind of, you know, where I could get and what that could help me accomplish. You know, I don't know if I'll ever have 100,000 subscribers. Don't really care. But I would just like to get to a point where I just want to keep making stuff that people like watching. Yeah. And if it grows, it grows. You know, I think if I do that, it will grow.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to be doing the current real, you know, the actual job that I'm doing forever.
Right.
You know, I think about, and I've explored it a little bit, you know, I would love to, I'm in sales and I'm in sales right now. That's my day job, IT sales. But gosh, I would love to work for another, you know, for some other company in the off-roading community, overlanding community, and do sales and marketing for them. You know, I used to work for another company where I went to trade shows and pitched our stuff. It was an online marketing web development company. And, you know, so I would love to work for a company that did that. And I look occasionally, but I'm not going to find it in Central Arkansas. And I'm not going to move away from my kids.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and see what happens. And then, like I said, when my youngest goes to college, it's game on.
Right. Then you're changing jobs.
Then I'm out of here.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So, well, that was basically all the questions that I had for you. Do you have anything else you want to add? Anything we missed that I didn't ask you or we didn't talk about? Any new project you're working on or anything?
I'm currently started a project on my Jeep, a maintenance project. You know how those go. That always turns into a bigger project.
Right.
I thought I just had a leaking pinion seal. And so got a new pinion seal. Was going to tackle that today. But as soon as I popped the drive shaft off, I was like, my pinion shouldn't be moving around this much.
That's fine.
So I was like, crap. So now I've ordered a whole bearing replacement kit and in about a week, I'll replace my pinion bearings and kind of redo that. So luckily I don't have anything coming up in the next week where I'm going to seriously need four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
My wife and I are planning on getting out, just the two of us, camping this weekend.
Awesome.
For Memorial Day. So I think it's supposed to rain-ish. We'll see, but I don't think we care. I think we're going rain or shine, and we're just going to get out because we're either with friends or we take the kids with us. And honestly, it's been since Colorado 2 years ago that she and I just went out together. So we're going to do that this weekend. We did. You know, if any of my friends see this beforehand, sorry, you're not invited. If we run into you, great, but you're not camping with us because we're doing our own thing.
Right.
That's really it.
That's cool.
So.
Very cool.
All right, guys. So that was it. That was the interview with Matt McClellan. Special thanks to Matt for stopping by and spending such a big chunk of time with me in the evening. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. Great guy. So learned a lot from him, and I'm really hopeful that I can get down to the Ozarks here before too long because I'd love to get out with him and his group and take a trip because they do some cool stuff. So again, thanks, Matt, for being on the show. Thanks for the invite to hang out with you. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever it happens, whenever this COVID stuff gets done, Can't wait to get to know you guys a little bit more and get to see the Ozarks, because I am super excited about that place down there. So again, check the description down below for links to Matt's channels. Definitely go check him out, because he's got some awesome epic stuff. And again, thank you guys for stopping by. If you are new, if this is your first one listening, I appreciate it, and I encourage you to click the like button, leave a comment, let me know what you thought, let me know if you have any questions. Click the subscribe button and just be notified whenever a new video drops. I do these every week, and I do gear reviews, I do Xterra content, a lot of overlanding stuff. So if you're into anything like camping, overlanding, off-roading, Nissans in particular, definitely click that subscribe button. So thanks again for watching. I hope you guys have a good one, and stay safe out there and have fun. Get out there, live, learn, and discover. Talk to you next time.